This meeting is being recorded and audio will be posted on the city website. Anyone wishing to speak, please raise your hand until recognized by the mayor, then state your name and residence. Do a roll call.
Randy Ziegler.
Joe Madden.
Gary.
Tony.
Mark.
Pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Approval of the agenda. I have a couple of things I'd like to add to the agenda. I would like to add under purchasing, we want to discuss our purchasing policy, I would like to. And under liquor, I would like to add Greg Kramer to the list of new hires. And I would like to have a vote on the release of Tammy Den. And that's all I have to add.
No, then there is to take out approved SCR.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, yes. And then I want to remove under liquor the approval for the SCR quotes. We're not ready for that. Are there any other, anyone else have any other additions?
Yeah, let's put the riprap under road construction. So we'll put it off for 3 months and can't seem to find another bid. Yeah, just put the
riprap.
We don't have any of that paperwork in our files, but you still have it on the computer.
I have a hard copy of the one bid.
You don't have anything from the computer that you just put on the screen?
No, because we didn't add it to any.
Do I remember?
I don't remember.
Can it wait until December?
Well, let's make sure that gets on in December.
Okay. All right. And you might only have one bid because he's not having luck.
Yeah.
We've done the due diligence.
Moving forward, you want to see it.
Of course.
Yes. And what was it that I wanted to add?
Tony did.
Oh, she did.
Yep, purchasing policy under purchasing.
Okay. Yes. Okay, then I need a approval now?
Yep.
I need a motion to approve the additions and deletions from the consent agenda.
So I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
Vote.
Aye.
Open forum. Would you like to speak? Okay, we'll go on. We need a motion to now approve the consent agenda.
I'll approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Then discussion?
Discussion?
Yeah. The only thing was the CD.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes.
We have a CD that's coming due right soon. And it's the football one?
Yes. So I set the renewal rates in front of you. You look for the sheet.
Page 30.
And then you should have this. This was sitting in front of you.
Yep. With the rates.
Right there, Tony. You're back to your hands on it.
Thank you. Okay, this is going to be coming due on the 15th. We're going to have a rate shortly. So everyone has in front of them the rates. I'm thinking this one can maybe go on a longer rate.
Yeah, but we'll get a better rate if we just go 7 months at this point. And that puts us into what 7 months from now would be May.
Yeah, we have in May. June.
I think the rates are going to be down considerably a bit at that time.
And go back
maybe something we ought to think about.
Yeah, and it does.
They've been running a downward trend pretty steadily here.
Yeah, and you can see that coming up. We could put it in for 17 months, which is what we... over a year.
Or even 12 months, we could do first.
We could do 12.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, there's a 4% on First Western.
You know, there's a 4.15 at a 19-month, and I think in 12 months, these rates are not going to, I think they're going to be a bit lower, my opinion. So.
Well, they shouldn't be too volatile, though.
Right.
Since the election, so I would go with a lower duration.
You think 7 or 12 is 4.5?
I was thinking the 17th.
17 months.
The 17 months?
Yeah.
At 4%?
I'd be good with that even now.
Yeah.
Will we need this money in 17 months or if we plan it?
I don't think so. It's the slip money.
They have other monies. They have, I don't know what they have in their checkbook, but they have another CD for
$32,000. Yeah, okay. August of next year.
Yeah, that's good to know. Yeah.
And so. Between them and the DNR, they give us all the funding to pay for AIS inspectors.
Okay.
This is just in case we have to fund, like, you know, a big time, I don't know what you call it, in a lake when it does.
Contaminated.
Oh, I gotcha.
So we
could. You don't want to, but you could always pull it out and you'd still make something, just not the 4%.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's going to be another $10,000 I think we budgeted for that for 2025.
Okay.
So it's got cash available next year also.
What is the dollar amount on that CD?
$10,000.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so that's not.
No, it's not huge. Okay. Someone want to make a motion?
I'm going to follow up with Randy and go make a motion for First National Bank at the 17 months at 4%.
I'll second that.
Any other discussion? Vote?
Aye.
All right.
Aye. On that note, I'll make a motion to accept the consent agenda changes.
With the renewal of the CD?
Renewal of the CD.
Okay. A second. Any other discussion? Vote?
Aye. Aye.
New business and critical issues. Review the splash pad quotes. That'll be on 32-58.
We do have two representatives here.
I thought you said you had your packet.
I did, but I usually when I hear I like to. Okay, I'll just take it.
Steve from Waterplay and Jeff from Commercial Recreation Specialist. So I'll just let you kind of take it away, Tony. And they're welcome to plug their computer in here because I do think they might. Maybe have their different things to go over with you. I thought it'd be a perfect time because this is a big project for kind of a Q&A with you guys, with them. I don't know that I'm looking for a motion tonight because it's a lot and it's a lot to absorb and you might walk away with more questions, but at least to meet them and go over things. Okay? So I don't know if Jeff wants to start.
Sure, yeah. Absolutely. Plug in here.
And you can pull a chair up and sit right here, too.
Oh, that's fine. Yes, I don't mind. I've been sitting since Twin Cities, so it's nice to stand up. Here, I can just give you in. I don't need too long. I'll just park behind you here. Most people have a short kid, but that's kind of nice, actually. Okay.
And certainly introduce yourself.
Yeah, so we'll make sure you can stand up here. You may have seen this before, depending if I've been in previous meetings. Mm-hmm. So my name is Jeff Cornia with Commercial Recreation Specialist. I've been in the industry designing splash pads for 17 years. I personally designed and installed maybe between 300 and 400 of them, probably 80% of all municipal splash pads in the state of Minnesota. And so, yeah, I've been doing this a long time. I enjoy doing it. Father of six myself, so I've had my kids out there when they were little doing this. So we're a large company, probably one of the largest distributors of recreation in the United States. We're based out of Madison, Wisconsin, with over 50 employees. We have landscape architects on staff. That's who actually designed the layout here. I'm in the Twin Cities. I'm a certified pool operator licensed in Minnesota, so I've been designing mechanicals and splash pads for a long time. What we tried to accomplish here was when the shelter was installed, we really looked first at maybe putting a small splash pad between the shelter and the playground. And then Ann and I and some people in the committee got talking about potentially wrapping that concrete around the shelter and having a little bigger area, expand the budget a bit. And so that's what we've done here. And what we have here is on the left side, you'll see where that little frog is on the left. That's the toddler zone. So basically the entire area in front of the shelter itself is the toddler area. So we try to define everything in bays or zones. So you want to keep those smaller kids that are more static, less transient, infants and toddlers, maybe in one area close to their parents, nearby the seating, nearby the diaper bags. And you want to try to keep the teens as far away as possible, the older elementary kids, because you don't want the 8-9-year-old running down the 2-year-old, right? So let's try to separate those bays. So we basically have the toddler area, I don't know if you can see the little housework in there, right in this area here. And then we have a family bay kind of right in the middle and in the back. And then we have the teen bay right here. What I mean by teen bay is highly interactive, a lot of competitive and collaborative events. So we have water cannons, we have a dumping bucket, we have a sun spray that you can twirl and spray. So we try to keep some of that immersive water of the dumping bucket and the high pressure water of the water cannons, maybe those 6 or 8 foot ground sprays, you know, on one side, and we'll dial our water down in the toddler area over here and keep it a bit, you know, safer, where you can get those little hands and little fingers into that water and they can put their faces right into the water. So we have a handful of features in here. The design was to put this in between the pickleball as well. So we have a separate proposal for the shade and the concrete for the pickleball, as well as a water fountain for the splash pad, so the kids aren't drinking out of the features, because that's one thing they'll do. The fresh water system, they're warm, they're hot, they're thirsty, they're going to put their faces right in their lips and drink out of it. So provide them from a safety standpoint, from a health standpoint, a water fountain. And then we also providing in the proposal a break into your plastic border here, so we can make an accessible route into the play area. So basically the entire site becomes accessible from the parking lot over on this side, as well as, I believe, to the north, have an accessible route from parking into the entire area.
What if the kids do drink out of that?
What's that?
What if the kids do drink out of those?
It won't hurt them. I mean, yeah, it's all potable water. The city puts a small amount of chlorine, 2 to 4 parts per minute of chlorine in your water, you know, so that's in the water, so you might have some chlorinated water, or maybe it's well water, okay. But it has to be obviously past Pollution Control Agency, MDH, so it's clean drinkable water. It's just another, it's like a drinking fountain, but not meant to be a drinking fountain. So.
I got you.
Yeah.
This being a pump and dump situation, how cold water is that going to be? Is that going to be like?
It'll be groundwater temperature. Yeah, so you're going to be pulling out of a well in the city. It'll be cold water. You know, I have a lot of people ask about that. Mostly parents, right? They're concerned about the cold water. I have some cities say, do we, you know, try to warm that water up with a heater system? We'll do that on some of our larger splash pads, typically recirculating. We'll put a heater in there and run that through the filtration system and heat the water. But there are no freshwater splash pads in the state of Minnesota that I'm aware of that have any kind of heating element. And the kids, you have a beautiful situation here, because ideally in a splash pad, what you want is you want to have that water play, that wet play, and then the dry play. So what happens is, in a hot summer day, they're in the splash pad, they're playing in there for a half hour, 45 minutes, they get cool just from the water, they run to the dry play, they play in the dry play, they warm up, and they run back to the splash pad, so you bounce back and forth. And because of proximity, you have a great location being so close. Some communities have the playground a bit of a distance where the parents can't really watch their kids all in one location. From a site supervision and sight line visibility, you've got a great design from that shelter, being able to see the splash pad and being able to see through it, as well as seeing the playground area. So it's really, it's a nice setup in the park you have here in the limited space.
How many total?
So if a kid pees or something that we don't want in the water goes down in there, just the chlorine takes care of that, or is there some sort of a filter system?
Down the main drain?
Yeah.
Yeah, so your main drain, I'm assuming it's going to be tied into your storm system, possibly.
Maybe so it's not recycled water.
What's that?
It's not recycled water.
That's correct. This is a fresh water system. It uses that potable drinking water, and then it goes down the drain. That's correct, yeah.
I got you.
Sorry. How many gallons?
Something like this, you're probably looking at about 8 million gallons in a summer season. from Memorial Day to Labor Day.
How much, if you were running all of the fixtures at one time, what would the requirement gallons per minute be?
You're probably looking, if you did everything, maybe 180 gallons per minute. But we try to be more sustainable, so we have sustainable initiatives when we design our splash pads. You really don't want to run everything all at once because you don't have a recirc system. So you want to be as sustainable as possible. What we do in our controller that operates all of this, and there's multiple activators. We have a small activator on one side on a bollard and the shelter, and then another one over here. Those activators are programmed to run different zones, right? So you have a family coming up with smaller children in the toddler zone. They hit the activator closer to that zone. It just turns that zone on, right? So that's one way to program it. If you have an older family and they also have some older kids, they'll go to the teen area, hit that activator, turns that on. So you can operate it that way, or we can program it to one activator runs the entire splash pad. But what you're going to want to do is sequence those features. What I mean by that is, when someone hits that activator and sends a signal to the controller, that controller is going to say, somebody's out there. Let's turn on 70% of the features but leave 30% off, right? And we're not going to have all 70 in one area. It needs to be spread out, so there's water turning on everywhere. Every 15 seconds, the controller is going to shut down valves and open other valves and open up new features, turn off the existing features, maintaining that 70-30 split. With our controller, which is the most advanced in the industry, you can actually go in as an owner in the touchscreen and adjust that. So if you're metering the water with your water meter, you're like, while we're using so many gallons per day, we'd like to bring that down, you can just go under controller, hit a number, dial it down from, let's say, 70% to 60%, it resequences everything on the fly and it runs it. So you have an adjustability as an owner to do that, but I would say you're probably at about an 8 million gallon with that size splash pad. But you can adjust that, you can dial it up or down.
If all of them are being, you know, we've got a big D, a lot of kids out there, all of them are being punched at the same time, will it operate decently or will the water flow perhaps diminish?
So what we do in that sequence where, let's say we have that 70% on, 30% off, and that's how you'd want to run it. If you had 20 splash pad features, you wouldn't want all 20 on. You want to have, you know, let's say 15 on and 5 off, and then constantly keep that ratio. So the engineers back at the manufacturer look at that and say, okay, on the first sequence of these 70% on, we're going to try to maintain 150 gallons per minute. On the next sequence, when different features are turning on and off, we're trying to keep that 150 balance throughout the entire thing. So you don't have ground sprays maybe 6 feet one time and then 3 feet the other time and going back up. If you had a recirculation system, then you could be running those pumps on what's called a variable frequency drive, where it speeds up the pump and slows down the pump and keeps that ground spray at a perfect 6 foot and always maintains it. It's a little more difficult with a freshwater system because the engineers have to kind of design it so you don't have your ground sprays going up and down every time the kids hit an activator and it changes. So, yeah.
So this 180 gallons per minute, that would be like if everything or as much of it could run as that's like the max we'd use.
Correct.
It'd let it go up to that. Okay. I just want to make sure that our water requirements are...
Yeah, and it's adjustable, like I said. I believe a 3-inch water line is all we're going to need for this. I believe that's what you have plumbed in there. And so, again, as the owner, you can go in and set the operational hours, which basically says when does it turn on and when does it turn off. I've had some splash pads like Sartell by St. Cloud when we had that drought several years ago. They just decided we're going to turn the splash pad off for like a month or two. I have had other owners, municipalities say, well, you know what, let's reduce our water by just shrinking the hours of operation. So instead of the typical Minnesota time, which is 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. in most splash pads, they brought that like to noon to 6, during the drought and other things like that. Other than going into our controller and adjusting the sequencing, so instead of 70% on, 30 off, let's bring it to 60 on, 40 off. Let's turn more features off. Still, everything is kind of spread out, but less features are on at once. It brings your water down. So lots of ways we can be creative with that. We also have other things you can add to it in the future. Anemometers on the roof of the building, so if it's windy out, you're not blowing water into the grass, as well as rain sensors. So if it's raining, hit the activator, nothing happens. So other things we can do.
How easy is a system to winterize?
It's pretty simple, because what you're going to do is you're going to blow it out like an irrigation system. So we're going to have a gravity feed system that feeds it back towards the building or to an external drain pit that's going to be at a low point. So what's going to happen is there's going to be a low point either outside the building or in that where that cutout is for the manifold on the floor. And all the water is going to drain to that pit. And then that's basically going to get about 80% of the water out of the pipes. Then you put a pull behind Ingersoll Rand compressor on a maintenance truck with a 1-inch air line. You put it onto that manifold inside the room. The manifold is basically a big stainless pipe where the main 3-inch water line comes in, and that disseminates it into the individual pipes that go under the ground of the features, and we blow it out. You hit it with about 90 PSI, and you feed that in, you blow it out. If you're ever driven by a golf course, you see kind of the air blown out in the fall when they blow it out. It's similar to this. We just want to get that water out of the line so it can't crack that rigid pipe. And then I have a lot of cities that do like an RV antifreeze, and they just pour it down the ground sprays, let that run out. That's another way to make sure absolutely positive you don't get a cracked pipe, which you don't want. So
these fixtures are easy to switch out in the event that something breaks?
They are, yeah. Everything is stainless steel, powder coated stainless, so no issue there. The features can be taken off quite easily. It's simply under that blue guard. So if you look into here and I go up here, there's a tow guard right here. So under these features is a tow guard. And that tow guard basically keeps the kid's toes from hitting the nuts and bolts, right? So that red spray can in there comes down to a round flange with four bolts. It bolts down into a big piece of stainless in the concrete, and that's to secure. Those four bolts, like this, you unscrew those four bolts, the whole feature comes off, you can change it out.
So that would also accept other types. I mean, is everything that's the same?
Same universal mount, that's correct. So one thing we looked at is phasing your splash pad. If you didn't have the budget for every above ground vertical feature, but you wanted to get the splash pad up and running and save a little money, we have these safe swaps. Basically, it acts a plastic cap that goes on like a ground spray. So if that red water cannon wasn't there, it would just be a plastic cap that sprays water. Saves you about 80% of the cost of that feature because it's just a cap. At a later date, you can unbolt that cap. The city orders a vertical feature like a water cannon. You bolt it down, and you're up and running. Any one of these features can be changed around with other features as long as you maintain the water zone, the wet zone. For example, you can see this yellow feature here. Basically, it's called a sun spray. The water comes out, and as the kids grab that blue orb halfway up, which is wheelchair accessible, and they spin it, the water kind of flies out in all directions. It's a pretty large wet zone where the water hits the concrete and splashes. The water cannon, in other words, and this one here is on the edge of the splash pad because it sprays in and has a limited zone. You couldn't put something like this yellow sun spray on the edge of the splash pad because it would be spraying in the grass. So we just have to maintain and make sure we understand which features are designed with the larger and smaller spray zone, and you can change those out.
So with these adjustments, will we have a staff that monitor that? Or?
Yeah, so you don't have to. So the beautiful thing in Minnesota is up till about June of this year, maybe July of this year, Minnesota Department of Health regulated all splash pads in Minnesota. The gentleman who was the PE with MDH, professional engineer, for the last 40 years, who had supervised all Minnesota pools, splash pads, retired. Tom, who is the supervisor of the Department of MDH in the pool area, decided they're no longer going to regulate freshwater splash pads in Minnesota, so that was a blessing. All the cities were going hooray. So you no longer have to have a certified pool operator, or you no longer have to have engineered stamp drawings and go through this whole rigorous process with Minnesota Department of Health like you might have to do with like the Department of Labor and Industry to get a new water line brought in. It's basically best construction practices, and it's not regulated now. So yeah, no certified pool operator. Just basically somebody from the maintenance crew is going to come out, and I think your biggest maintenance on a splash pad is going to be emptying the trash receptacles, picking up shoes and shirts and other things left at the site, because the system is kind of a set it and forget it. You turn it on in Memorial Day, you set the hours of operation, you close the door in the mechanical room, you let it run. It's just a series of irrigation valves on the manifold that open and close, hold that city water pressure back, and it just allows that water to come out. In September, you go out, you turn the system off, and you winterize it and blow it out. There's not a lot to do. There's no filters, there's no pumps. There's all this necessary mechanicals like a recirculating pool system that you have to maintain. So it's going to be more at the site. You're going to have a lot of people coming to 50 Lakes from the neighboring area using the splash pad. So you're going to have a lot of just wrappers and food and lunches and all that. So you're going to have lots of trash receptacles and just kind of clean that out.
So the pressure of the water is based on the pressure of our well.
Correct. Is that correct? Yep, right.
Have you looked at our 3-inch, I think we did a 3-inch field.
I saw the initial paperwork on the quote when you were looking to have it quoted. Yeah, we were trying to establish the gallons per minute necessary and what that would pump out.
We are punching a new well.
But sure, if we punched a new well, would we be capable of 180 gallons a minute?
Well, that's what the sequencing will do. That was total, which you would never run at that. You would run it at less. You would run it at the sequence flow rate.
Which would be?
I can probably tell you. I don't have it in the renders here, but I can probably get that for you.
Blue Water Wells, Scott Tulacek. I have the bid. It was $30,000+, which was included in the grant. And it was exactly what the output of water we needed for the splash pad, and that well will specifically be for the splash pad.
Yeah, we met with him last spring. Mm-hmm. This spring.
I'll have to look and find the piping electrical diagram and the spray zone for yours, and I'll get back to you with that. I can get you the exact rate. I don't want to guess on it because if you guys are really looking, but it was something we did look at when we designed the splash pad to make sure that our splash pad wasn't going beyond what your well was designed for.
So we have one well just kind of for the city use and then one well for the splash pad.
Okay, then I think you have the pricing, don't you? Oh.
Yeah.
Lori has her hand up.
Oh, I'm sorry, Lori.
Lori Crawford, Royford. I have a question. A child comes in, fills their bucket with the dirt and mulch that's at the playground, yeah, and they dump it on one of those, and it gets clogged.
On the feature or on the drain?
On the feature. Like when it's off, they come over, they dump it, it gets clogged. Little pebbles get in there. How is that? Did we have to call somebody else?
No. Yeah. All of the ground sprays and all of the openings and the nozzles on all the features have a tool and they come right out. So it's as simple as putting the tool on there. Because kids will do that. Yeah. They'll just take sticks from the playground and they take those little sticks from the engine or whatever, and they shove it into every orifice to plug it up. Just fun, right? Not intentionally, just having fun with it. And the maintenance people have to take that little valve up, put a screwdriver, and knock it out. So everything is basically brass or stainless steel. There's no big plastic nozzles anywhere on anything, so it's extremely durable, meant to last 30-plus years. So everything is designed to be pulled apart quite simply with the tool in the toolbox that we give them. We install the splash pad. They can just pull that out, and they can basically clean that. Good question.
Did you want him to go over his quotes, or you want to do that on your own?
I can answer any questions on it. So we would use local mason, local electrician for all the concrete deck and for the electrical. And then we have our own W-2 employees. We'd have three different install teams out of our Madison, Wisconsin headquarters. So we'd send a team out here, and they would do all the piping. And yours, most likely, we would use PEX, which is a flexible water pipe, instead of a rigid PVC. It's better because it has three times the expansion rate. You can expand and contract and not worry about cracking of that pipe, whereas if you use a rigid, like a Schedule 80 PVC, if you have any water in that pipe, it'll crack and you're saw cutting reinforced concrete to get to it. So typically in all freshwater systems, we do PEX, which is a better solution. So we have all the tools and we're trained to do that. So our team would do that, but because that's specialized work under the concrete, you don't want to have just anybody do that. But the mason electrician will be local, on the numbers we have there.
On the bed here.
Yeah.
The sunshade and the water fountain are quoted separate?
That's correct, yeah.
What is the time frame on this?
I think it's up to you. I would assume you're looking at spring of next year to get open for the summer Memorial Day, so we have availability and crews to do that. So sooner the better. I mean, just because we're a large organization, we do a lot of splash pads. We'll probably do 30 to 50 next year. And I know everybody wants it open before Memorial Day, so everybody's trying to cram it in there. So yeah, sooner would be better. So.
How long is the pricing good for? Okay.
That pricing's now good till spring of 25 because Vortex, our manufacturer, just had a price increase. So that'll hold till spring.
Okay.
Yeah.
And this quote does include all electrical and...
All electrical, yep. All the excavation, the mason, all the decks. So basically, for those people that know construction, our concrete is fairly reinforced. It's 6 inches thick, number 4 rebar, 12 inches on center, so you can drive a large truck on it. And so, yeah, we'll hire an electrician to bond and ground everything for pool code. The mason will do a medium broom finish like you would on a city sidewalk. So it's got that rough surface, so when the kids walk on it and the water's on it, they won't slip. But at the same time, it's not too rough on their feet. They'll drag a broom across there, about medium finish, and it'll be really nice. It's easy to pressure wash clean. You can do things like colored concrete, this or that. It gets quite a bit more expensive. I would recommend just the standard gray, unless you had a lot of iron, like at Seago in your water, where that breaks concrete's going to turn streaked with red, and they might want to do like an integral color red concrete. But
how much would that add to the cost?
Integral color adds quite a bit. You're probably looking at $10 a square foot, you know, on the
as opposed to up $10 extra.
Extra. Typically, if you stick to those more muted colors, the browns and the brick reds, those are going to be, and the tans, those are less expensive. You get into blues and some of the brighter ones, they get quite expensive for that dry mix to put in there. So
yeah, the problem you run into is when you start, I mean, this is groundwater, and you'll get a different color. It's not going to be pure white on the concrete.
No, I assume we're going to get rust on it.
Regardless of what color we go, it's going to stain.
Absolutely. So. I was thinking a stain color near a rust color, so it wouldn't stain.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. How many splash pads are colored as opposed to those that aren't colored? Did you guys?
Maybe 2% in the state are colored.
Everybody else?
Everybody else is standard gray mix, yeah.
How about an area where I know our well RA is going to produce, it produces a lot of iron because of where we are?
Yeah.
So you wouldn't recommend that we would go with somewhat of a stained?
It's not a recommendation based on, it's more of a budget issue. Because I know trying to get that additional concrete money, you know, may be difficult or might not be difficult. I could obviously get a quote, you know, for doing something like that. It's a fairly simple process. But it's up to you. I mean, yeah, I would always recommend to do that if you can. If the budget is there to enhance the concrete, if you know you have iron. Otherwise, you know what it's going to look like. I'll show you, for example, Otsego. Let me just show you real quick here what it can look like. I could even show you Rogers, Minnesota. We put a poured-in-place rubber on their splash pad, which cost about $80,000. At first, it was gray concrete, and that just turned bright red. And we ended up putting poured-in-place on it. Let me just show you. I believe I have some pictures. If I have my OneDrive up.
Yeah, we can scroll a lot of stuff for that.
Turn my cellular on here.
So what did Deerwood? That was not colored.
Yeah, I did Deerwood, and that was just gray. I worked with Patrick over there and the maintenance people, yeah. And that was just limited. What's that? I don't know. Let's say I can do the calc. It'd be probably 3,500 square feet at 6 inches thick. I only have cellular here, so I probably can't pull the pictures up right and show you. But again, that gray, you're going to see that bright red streaks through it, and it'll just, people will know that it's just iron and such, but sometimes it's a matter of budget versus what you want to do, and you know,
yeah,
so.
I guess I was of the thought of colored it near a stain or a iron color, you know, on reddish.
Yeah.
You know, it would help hide it, but for that extra cost, I think they make some good products for cleaning that.
You guys probably haven't been to Pequot Lakes, have you? Their splash pad? I did that
once.
Then we designed the splash pad to look like a bobber, so it has the red colored integral concrete. So that's what you would be doing, something like that. You can kind of see that red or a brick red or more of that kind of muted color would hide that iron.
Right.
So
that would be the only reason I was thinking of it. I had looked at the
And water. there are some paintable top surfaces that have that slip resistance built into them. And those are going to be less expensive, but you're basically applying something onto the top, and that's going to wear over 5 years. Then you have to reapply it. The integral concrete is mixed right with the concrete, so you could take a hammer to it, and the color bleeds all the way through. So, yeah, so there are some less expensive ways to do it, but then it's going to be ongoing, something you put in a CIP every so many years to make for 5 years to replace that kind of thing, to refinish it.
Anybody
You'll think of them after. Just let me know.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Send me emails, call, if you have questions.
I'll
give
you yeah.
That's good.
True.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
Thank
you. I appreciate your time tonight.
Thank you.
Yeah. Sharpen your pencil a little bit on that photo.
Will do. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll be in touch, Jeff.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
Save your phone.
There we go.
All right.
And this is Steve Owen from Water Place.
Can you guys see in our brochure?
I don't think so.
We are the oldest splash pad company in the world. We have put thousands of splash pads all over the world. And I got one. You guys don't have to share.
I guess
so. And I brought some samples of what our piping looks like and what some of the plastics look like and the color. So I'll just pass this around as I give the presentation.
Where are you based?
I'm in Cambridge, Minnesota.
Okay.
And our company is just south of Edmonton, Canada.
Okay.
Vortex, who he reps for, they're in Montreal. So.
So who's in Montreal?
The other company.
The other company?
Yep.
Okay. So both Canadian companies?
They're both Canadian, yep. Actually, you guys have chosen the top two companies in the world. So. So that was our piping with the stainless steel.
Man, that's heavy.
Isn't that something? We have the strongest pipe, and it's guaranteed for 20 years. The plastics are guaranteed for 20 years, too, and they're unbreakable.
What's the plastics? What plastic are you talking about?
Probably getting a little ahead of myself here. Let me show you. So we designed the pad to be just like Vortex. Okay, so our features are exactly the same as their features. So the plastic is like, see the red dump bucket? That's the plastic. It's a hard, guaranteed plastic to last for 20 years. You could choose any color you want. He talked about, yes.
What are these for? Just colors?
The culture. So each function, you can pick what color you want. It's all powder-coated. So that is our, he was talking about a brass that he has at the end of his pipe for the water coming out. Ours is synthetic, guaranteed not to break. You can take a sledgehammer to that and break it. The reason we didn't use brass is because it bends and it dents.
Is this the base?
No, that's just an example of one of the tops.
Oh, all right, I gotcha.
See, our base, as you can tell, we do not have a bumper around the bottom of our poles because all our stuff is underneath the concrete. So there's a flat piece of metal that has screws going down. Their screws go up. So the problem with that is they have to put a bumper around theirs and mold gets in there. And my boss came from their company and he was with them for 20 years and that's their biggest problem is mold. So
you've got actually a little plate around the fixture that comes off and that's exposed down to the dirt or whatever?
Nope, down to the concrete. It's just recessed.
No mold that grows underneath that?
Nope, because it's all stainless steel and it's tight, airtight. So we have no mold, we've never had mold, and we never will have mold. Now they are...
They're break easy to take apart and put a new one back in, I assume?
Four screws, yep. Four stainless steel screws. And the nice thing is you can interchange. So 2 or 3 years from now, if you want to take one of those features out and put a new one in, you can. Yep. All our bases are the same. Everything is stainless steel, except for our nozzles, which are the synthetic.
Building his own splash.
That's good. That's good. That's fine. Yep. So, Let's see, what are some of the other things I wanted to tell you about? We have free maintenance for as long as you have your splash pad. So if you have a splash pad for 30 years, the maintenance is free. So Chad, your maintenance, he's had a maintenance, right?
Mm-hmm.
If he ever had a problem, he calls our 800 number. We have four people standing by, and they walk him through exactly what he needs to do. And they'll have him turn his phone on so they can see exactly what's going on. And they'll say, turn the red knob, do this, do that. And he fixes it right away. They're not a manufacturer. I am the manufacturer. So I will be your project engineer. I come right from the factory. So there isn't a middleman. So whenever there's a problem, you give me a call, or you can call our maintenance department.
The way I see it, I think you guys have a lot of everything pretty simple. But I think where we see the problem, or where I could see a problem, is in the controls. You know, that's where we have to call you or have someone from you somehow.
Yeah. When we open the splash pad, we send our technicians out and we train your maintenance people. And they're not here just for one day, they're here for 3 days. So once they get set up, then they're here as it runs for 2 days. If something comes up, because usually the maintenance guys are like, oh, I was listening, but I don't remember, what do I do for this? So then our guy's there for at least 2 to 3 days, whatever, how long you want. And that's included in our price. And we also show you how to, they'll show you how to winterize, and they also will show you how to set it up in the spring, too.
Very good.
Yeah.
I also noticed, too, that on his bed, he has the sunshade and the water fountain is included,
this
just,
is all,
just so yeah, you, just so that you know. The other one did not, so you have to add that.
There was some other literature in there where it had those other
but you have to add them together. So if you're looking at apples to apples.
I had noticed that.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, the same questions I kind of asked him, do I assume that you have roughly the same answers? Water requirements and winterizing.
Now, he was talking about he only wanted 70% of his splash pad to go at once. That was his max. You put ours 100%, and you will not lose any flow. You will not lose any spray. The way we have built our manifolds and valves, it'll take your splash pad, and you can be at 100% on. Now, we have it in two zones, so if there's only one or two kids there, they'll touch one zone, and they'll play in that zone. And then whatever time you want to set it for, you can set it for. They can go touch the other zone, that zone will come on too. So, yes, you can have 100%. You do not have to worry about not having enough power for the water to only get sent.
Are we still talking about like 180 gallons per minute?
Yes.
Okay. And winterization,
same thing.
Blower out?
Yep. Okay. Everything is drained to a certain point. Yeah. And then you still blow it out just to get a little less out. Now, we also provide caps for each one of our things. So if you don't have caps on it, if it rains, you're going to get water in there. If it's windy, you're going to get mist, any little water. So we have caps for all our ground stuff and above, which is included in that. So we've been, the reason we're the biggest company in the world, because we do everything the right way. So.
Okay, I got lost on the caps thing. Is that like in the winter when we take the mm-hmm. features off, then you put the cap on?
You don't have to take the features off. The caps go right over the features.
Right over that gray part, basically?
Yes.
Oh.
Yep.
So everything stays through the winter?
Yep. And then you don't have to worry about melting and freezing, because it's covered. The water won't get in there. So,
Okay. When we met, was there talk about a paint if we don't like?
Yes. So you guys are talking about, worried about the concrete turning color. We have a product that it's just like paint. It's not very expensive. It's like the cost of paint. You just paint it on, and it's guaranteed for 10 years not to lose its color or chip. So you can just, and at any time, you can put this paint on. We've developed it. It's a really cool product. And we also have another feature called Life Floor. So maybe 2-3 years from now, you come back and you're like, oh, it'd be kind of nice to put like a little foam rubber floor to it. It's called Life Floor. And insurance companies love that because it cuts down on concussions and kids slipping. They can't slip. So that's something you can put on down the road.
Approximately, what is the cost of that?
It's a little expensive. Probably for your size of splash pad, probably about $25,000 to $30,000. But it's a nice pad. and the kids don't slip on it, and they won't get concussions because they bounce right up, which is
should
nice.
Should we be carrying extra insurance for this?
No. Talk to your, I should say, talk to your insurance person. You shouldn't have to, because we have never had problems with kids. But I'm putting Special Olympics, we're putting that floor in the Twin Cities in their new splash pad, just because, you know, they're Special Olympic kids, and so we want that. But so I would say probably 20% of the splash pads put that foam pad on the ground. Yeah. It's called Life Floor. It's
should
a patent
we
product.
Have this designed for having that foam thing in the future, just in case?
The nice thing is you don't have to worry about it, because when they put the flooring down, they bevel the edges for around the ground sprays or the drains, so you don't have to worry about that.
Could be done.
Yep. And there's a special around the outside of the edge so they don't trip. They designed it so it's like a, what are those pools you can walk in, those zero ground pools, kind of the same type thing. So it's kind of cool.
I guess I'll go back to the question that Ann had asked, is the bid price, how long is it good for?
Ours is good for a year, so. Yeah, and we're not having price increases, so. Yep. And we're going to go through Sourcewell. So you get a nice discount through Sourcewell. So you don't technically have to go to bid, because Sourcewell is the bid. So.
Do you know if there would be any like funding, extra funding out there for something like this Life Floor?
Mm-hmm. There absolutely might be, and it might be something we can write Sourcewell.
Yeah, because that might be good to do like right away if we can get funding for it.
Yeah. One thing I want to explain, as Steve talked about, is Sourcewell has where they do the cooperative purchasing, and so they've already gone through the bidding process. They are a provider
certified
through Sourcewell. So if we go with them, I just want you to be fully told this, we get 1% of the total cost of the project back, which is
1% on our total there.
Yeah. Do you bring in
does
all
that come
your
up
roles?
To 25,000, sir?
I'm sorry.
Well, his bid came in at 360, so 1% of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Lori?
That paint that you talked about,
mm-hmm.
is that slip resistant?
Yes.
Do you have your own contractors for everything, or do you still
you
bring everybody in?
One contractor, he talked about multiple people. We have one person that does everything, except for I bid your sidewalks separately because I got a better deal on concrete through a concrete company in the Twin Cities.
Okay.
So 95% of the job will be done with one company.
Okay.
So, yes. And they stay in hotels in the area, so they will stay and get the project done. Depending on the weather and snow, about a month and a half to 2 months you can figure. And before that, we need to get the product in our manufacturing going about 2 months before that. So we need about 4 months to get the whole project done, and we can be open before the holiday. So, yeah.
Which holiday?
May 31st. Yeah, good point. Not 4th of July, no. Yeah. So two things that separate me from the other company. Our products are beyond industrial. I mean, nobody has stainless steel that thick. We do not have mold because we do not have the bumper. And we have a lifetime for maintenance. So if you get a new maintenance guy 3 years from now who's not trained, you can call up and they'll walk him through exactly what to do. Or I'm local, I can come up and show him too. So those are the three big things.
So is this basically what's on the concrete?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Or is it this side?
You gotta turn it the other way.
Lay it like you did?
Yep.
Like that?
Yep.
And this piping runs through the whole splash pad?
That's the above ground. Below ground is just like everybody else has. That's just above ground. So you don't have to worry about vandalism. We've designed the end of the nozzles, kids can't get their fingers in there. The other splash pad companies, they can because they didn't put a seal around it, so that's a problem.
Does that kind of go back to the kids putting sticks and stuff in there?
They cannot with ours. Yep.
Don't worry about the sand.
I know.
Yep.
You should see what they do in a crossway.
So somebody could take a baseball bat or a hammer to that, and they will not break our valves or our pipes, and that's guaranteed for 20 years. So, yeah, that's pretty important.
So we get $3,600 back for the 1%.
Well, it's $360,000.
Right. So we'd get $3,600 back, right? And then, so that would start us towards the $25,000.
Mm-hmm.
And then if it's a Sourcewell certified.
Yep. You get a 20% discount on that. So,
on what?
On the life floor. Through Sourcewell.
On the life floor. Through what? Why?
Because they have a contract.
Oh, with you?
Yep.
Okay.
With us and Sourcewell. That's why you don't have to go to bid. They've already gone to bid and they've set the prices. And they've given you the discounts. So instead you get 3-4 bids.
So the bid that we're getting is already a 20% discount?
Yes.
Oh, gotcha.
Life Floor is based in the Twin Cities, so it's a Minnesota product, patented.
I thought you said it was out of Canada.
I'm sorry?
I thought you said it was a company out of Canada.
No, we're a company out of Canada. Life Floor, the foaming.
Oh, people. The Life Floor.
Yep, that's a separate company. But we're the Minnesota rep, so we're the only ones that install it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. What's the name of the paint?
It really has a name. It's our paint. Okay. Our splash pad paint.
Okay.
You can get it in any color you want.
I'm looking at two different color codes here. What's the difference there?
See the synthetic plastic? Are you talking about what are we talking about? I'm sorry?
Well, I got two different colors.
Yes.
These are the colors, these are the...
Yes, the plastic is like, see the red dump bucket up there? That's the synthetic plastic. Yep. That is, you cannot break it. And the other is just our powder coat paint that you can choose the colors. Everything of ours is custom, so you can any color you want for any one of the designs. Yep. And if you don't like any of those designs, we have 400 different features. So whatever, we just matched what the other company had, so you guys are comparing apples to apples.
So those other colors there are for what you can do the concrete colors?
No, that's for the poles.
Okay.
The poles.
That's for all the features.
I got you. So that's like one of the orange would be.
Yes. Added. Yes. Okay. Yep.
Mm-hmm. But those are the plastic colors.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So that would be for the metal and that would be for the plastic.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yep.
About how much would the paint add to that?
It's just like buying regular paint. It's not very expensive.
All right.
Yeah. It's just like buying normal paint.
Doesn't need to be applied in any special manner?
No, you want it clean. So some cities do that acetone. They put they power wash it, then they put that acetone so it kind of roughs it up a little so the paint really sticks to it good.
Do you have to let the concrete cure for a certain amount of time before you put the paint on?
Nope. We've done it, so we've done it right away. We painted it right away, yeah.
And I know we're going to have an iron...
Yep.
Color.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend getting painted or having them add the color to the concrete. That's just money that's wasted. You don't need to do that. Everybody, like New Ulm, they paint their splash pad every year. But I just called on the other day and said, hey, you don't need to do it every year. You can do it every 10 years. Use this product. And they're like, oh, we love that. So.
Oh, they were using a different product?
They were just using a cement paint, yeah. Uh-huh. And they're just putting blue paint down. The guy was telling me I have to do this every year. It's not that big a deal. He just power washes it and rolls it on. But it's a half day wasted, right. And he doesn't have to do that. So.
Do you guys sell that paint to other people?
Like for home?
For your patio at home? Yeah.
There's a painter right behind you. No,
also. There you go.
Any other questions? Thank you very much, Steve.
Well, thank you. Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Any questions? And knows how to get a hold of me.
Absolutely. Yes, thank you. With that, then, would you like to just? I think I'd just maybe you guys mull this over, think of things, because this is big. reviewing the bids, there is a difference of. Like $2,000.
So there's a difference of $2,000?
Yes.
That's it?
Yes.
And then we get like what we come back, that would be 3,600.
Yeah. Through him, but not through.
Right, because he's reserved all of it. Yeah. But I think that's already in the way you're doing it for.
The only thing I'm looking for is discussion with you. Okay, maybe Steve can weigh in on this too.
Yep.
Tony and I, we have met with Tommy Wu, who has Water Wars.
Oh, I'm sorry, we didn't talk about that.
Yeah. And the Pequot Lake Splash Pad has the Bucket Brigade. And it's pretty darn cool. I've been there, Justin's been there. And it's locally made.
Is that something that would be in addition to his bid?
Yes.
It's separate.
Is it adaptable?
Except for we have planned for the plumbing and the cement. So installing plumbing and cement is taken care of in my bid. So you just have to buy his.
But his will plug into any one of yours, or do you have certain, once we accept this array, is it kind of have to stay that way, or can
fixtures
change?
I asked him for his mechanical drawings so our engineers could make sure design will. He goes, as long as you can connect it to a hose. I said, we're a little more professional than that. So we're gonna engineer a proper connection for it.
Gotcha.
Because we're not gonna connect a hose, a little hose coming up right underneath this thing. We want it permanent. Because the hose is gonna wear out.
Gotcha.
3, 4, 5 years. So, and I was at Pequot Lakes and I already noticed that it was already leaking because it's not hooked up right. So. Our engineers will do it right for you.
Okay.
So that's included. So.
But getting back to my question, are the different things interchangeable as far as if we got this particular spray bar here, we decide to spray too much and want to move it over here, is that doable or is everything kind of...
You can move anything at any time because they're all the bases all the same. But when we design it, we design a spray radius, and then we add 5 feet to the concrete for wind and other things, so the water never gets in the grass. So we have a buffer zone of 5 feet around our concrete.
Is that spray radius adjustable at any time?
It is.
Like what Mark was just saying, we decided to take it over here, we could adjust that.
Yep, and you do it in your control room with the valves and the manifolds.
Oh, all right.
There's an adjustment on so each one of the functions, you can adjust how much water comes out or how less.
Oh, so that's all done at the panel, not at the
yes.
feature.
Yep.
Okay. Do you have a chance to look at our mechanical room?
I have. No.
Okay. Yep. Is that set up?
We're good to go. Yep. Our pad is also designed so down the road, if you decide you don't want to have what's called a flow through, is what you're doing now, what water flows right on through. If you want to recirculate in one, you can swap out the controls. It's real easy, and we can put in a recirculating pad.
So is that something you guys do?
That's something we do, yep. Our installers do, yep.
We
manufacture it, I'm sorry, Norm. We manufacture it, and then the installers install it. And everything is below ground, so nobody would see anything.
That could be done after the fact.
It'd be done after that. You guys have plenty of room to put that in if you want. Now, it adds about $120,000 to $140,000 for recirculating. So it's good that you have a well so you guys don't have to worry about the water. But like California, everybody has to put recirculating. Nobody can do a well or just flow through. So if Minnesota ever gets to that point, you guys won't be stuck with us because we can retro it. So I'm sure Minnesota won't because we have plenty of water, but...
In your experience, this wetlands that we're going to be draining into, is that adequate for...
Plenty, yep. I checked it out.
Do you see that holding water long term, or...?
No, I think you're going to be fine. With the amount of water that you're going to put in there, you'll be just fine. I've got people that have way less, smaller areas they're putting their water in, and some of the pads are even bigger than yours, so you'll be just fine.
Okay.
Yep. Another thing down the road, too, you can always... I showed you the end of the nozzles, you could put different nozzles in for different flow rates too with ours. So you take a nozzle out if you want. Maybe you decided we'd like this feature, but we wanted the water to go farther out. We can put a different nozzle in to do that. So, not a problem. Or less if you want less water coming out of it. So.
With that, I just wanted to let you know we've met with Tommy a couple times, and Tony and I really thought it would be great to have. The Bucket Brigade. It's local. They've been here 30 years. They, yeah. And some of you probably know him. But he wanted me to extend this. He is at show right now, but if we would enter into an agreement with him this month, he knocks off $1,299. So that's good until the end of November. So I kind of wanted to put that in the back of your minds that tonight, if you decide to have us, if you aren't comfortable, I'm guessing you're going to have a special meeting to do some interviewing. And then I thought, well, do you want to, because it's a lot, think about this, and then we could enter into this. And the thing with, I'm sorry, with Jeff is we would kick off one of his, because he didn't put any extra space for this. So right. When we met with him, we would have to take out a feature to put
the price,
and that would then, you know, would, of course, yes, yeah,
so you said you'd be able to adapt to whatever he does with his.
We're going to take your splash pad, we're going to add 10 square feet for this function, and we're going to, which is included, the spots included, and our installation of piping's included.
And you're included putting that in too?
Yep, we're going to do that for you. Yep, he's going to drop it off, and our installers will install it. And they'll install it with our, so if somewhere down the road you don't like the bucket brigade, you can take that out and put one, another feature there. So
that's kind of where I was going.
It'll be the same base.
If we look at something that you have, we can adapt back onto that. Yep. That's great.
And the only thing with that is, if we make any deviations with our plan that was submitted to the DNR, I have to get prior approval. So even just doing the extra cement, I'm going to have to take that back and make sure. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
In the contract, I mean, it's very specific. Any deviations have to go back for approval. So.
I would, if you don't want to go back to the DNR and you want to take out one of our features, take the feature, the price of that feature off, and you put his thing there. So it'd be a little less.
And we might,
if you don't want to go to the DNR.
We might have to anyway, because we are over what we put in the DNR grant. So that's all stuff I want to discuss with you.
Yeah.
And go over myself.
So then actually ours would be, now that I think about it, that 10 square feet of concrete plus the extra installation will make our price a little less, actually. So.
Okay. Because then we'll have to, readjust that.
Mm-hmm. Which is a good problem, go less than more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. That's all,
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
Yes, thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Yes. So I think we want to get on this, you guys. You know, a lot of information, a lot of stuff to think about and look at. And like Ann said, we're going to have to be doing interviews, so we'll set this up for a special meeting.
Should we pull this out of our packet and save it?
Yeah.
Sure.
Thank you. Okay, moving on in the new business critical issues. Approved resolution 2024-18, certifying the results of the 2024 election. This will take a motion from the council. And it's on page 59, the resolution.
I'm sorry. Today, it was kind of a different year for elections. And today I finally got the final results.
Oh.
They didn't have all of them that night from the absentees, so then I had to go back in and get them. Today was that Friday, I think. And then today they emailed me. So if you would add to the resolution, under mayor, write in 7.
Okay.
And then under council member, under write in, put other 29. And you had a write-in, I had a write-in, she had a write-in.
You had a write-in, you and Jill.
Lori had a write-in? Oh, Bowder knows.
I got enough on my plate. And Tony had a write-in for mayor.
Well, I'm glad that did not pass. For me, I mean. Nope.
So I'll have to sign that, and then if you can still do resolution number, it's fine.
Resolution number 2024-18, a resolution certifying the results of the Tuesday, November 5th election. This is a canvas election. Whereas the city of 50 Lakes held an election for the office of mayor and two council members on Tuesday, November 5th, 2024, during the general election with 327 persons voting, including absentees. Just a little comment, 50 Lakes has a great turnout for our people.
That's good.
Whereas on the 12th of November, 2024, the city council has met to canvass said election results. Whereas the votes tabulated at said election were for mayor, Gary Staples, 207. Randy Ziegler, 166. Write-in, 7. Council member, four-year term, Juan Cabrera, 200. Tony Buhite, 87. Nikki Seamers, 55. And others for 29. Therefore, be it resolved by the 50 Lakes City Council that the official election results for the office of mayor for the term of 2025 to 2027 shall be Gary Staples. Be it further resolved by the 50 Lakes City Council that the official election results for the offices of city member for the term of 2025 to 2029 shall be Juan Cabrera and Tony Buhite. Adopted this 12th day of November 2024.
I'll second that.
Vote please.
Aye.
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 I'll stick this in here. I guess. We have a letter in our council packet to approve the audit engagement letter from CLA, and it is on page 60 to 68. This is the auditor that we've been using, Clifton, Larson, and Allen. Ann, do you want to comment on that, on his... it was hard to find his pricing at first, but I got it.
It's all pretty standard. They'll observe our inventory on January 1st. They did it virtually last year. And then their fees on page 66. Their best estimate is $23,100. Which is significantly lower than the final bill we had last year, but that was because there was potential fraud with gambling. So anytime that is, you know, flagged, then it's the big wig who has to oversee everything. So
what was that bill for 2024 so far?
It was that was for the 2023 audit, and it was, I want to say, $37,000.
Do you mean that was for fraud with gambling?
I'm sorry, theft.
Okay, no, it's okay. I just thought
it is. If there's any, no, if there's any theft or fraud or any,
okay,
yes, then it changes everything. So hopefully, yeah, this will be just a nice, easy, clean audit and keep it at that price. So I would recommend going with them. Nobody else is. There's such a shortage of auditors right now that they're actually petitioning legislation to allow a city to go every 2 years for an audit. I don't know if that'd be good or bad, but the auditors are just disappearing because it's so much work to do a city audit.
Well, I'll make a motion that we go with Clifton Larson.
No.
For our year-end audit.
I'll second that.
Any discussion? Vote, please.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, go on to committee reports. Gary, you can take it away.
All right. Well, Bethany's not here tonight, so I'm on the hook here. It's starting to slow down quite a bit. They've got three things on the board back there. The zoning did approve the interim use permit for Russ Seberg for his salt factory or salt plant over here. And really, that's about the only thing we've got going on.
When will that start picking up? That spring? Is the fall construction season? Or?
I'm not sure when he's planning on moving it over there. I really have no idea. I don't think he gave us the time.
Do you mean planning and zoning in general?
Yeah, I just meant in general, planning and zoning.
I'm sorry, what was the question?
The planning and zoning, does that pick up in the spring?
Oh, yeah, with the building permits and stuff like that. It's starting to kind of hit the end of the season now, you know.
Yeah, if you look on here, it shows you the months, like in January of this year, we only had one. February, we had two. We had none in March, one in April, and then it started rolling. So it's a seasonal thing. Anything else, Gary?
That is it.
Yes. Gary, okay. Parks, I have nothing.
Oh, yeah, a whole bunch. We just got done.
They did all the talk and they were good. Okay, we'll go on to construction, road construction maintenance. Mark, anything for you?
Nothing really new to report other than that riprap that will address next month.
Okay, all right.
We skipped over fire and rescue.
We did, and
well,
that
we don't
is
have
not
a lot to report, actually,
We don't know. Nothing there, really.
Jesse, would you like to give a report?
We had 3 medicals last month. No fire calls.
We had a training on driving the vehicles. Thank you. Yeah.
And actually, on that note,
I didn't, but I've done it before.
If anybody knows Lon Musoff's funeral is tomorrow.
Where at?
Down by the kid, the church.
Mission of the Cross, across from Brenny's, down south across Lake.
Okay, that one down on 109? No.
Yeah, whatever that is.
38 or 37.
All right.
At 3 o'clock?
3 o'clock. 2 o'clock is visitation. Even though we're all here, it's actually just wrapping up and finding a report.
Does the full fire department know that? Do you know?
I think so. Mark sent a text out.
Okay.
What's that?
You sent a text to the full fire department because of all of his support.
We should. I almost wonder if we shouldn't.
He did, Mark. On Friday.
Well, Keith must have done something on Friday then. I sent our text to all of our group.
Yeah. That's everybody in it.
Wonder if we should send flowers or something down there.
That would be nice.
He donated lots.
Yeah. Yeah, we haven't had a meeting since Friday, I guess, so.
Yeah.
Where were the memorials supposed to go?
I can't remember.
It says in his obituary where he wants memorials to go to, so.
Great. Okay, and I want to thank the fire department for helping out with that, the Fall Fest, all the fables for the kids. They really, really like them. Good. We got to get you guys a nice sign somewhere, so we can put it out there. So everybody knows, you know, you guys, we gotta let them know that this tape. And the reason
there's a sign, I guess it just never made it.
I looked for it.
It was out there. Pardon? It was out there, it just wasn't on a stick.
Oh, okay, we need to get a nice one and put it out there. Yeah, I think we should work on that. One other thing that I have, the city has not received any pull tab reports, the monthly report, shorts and longs, that lists the games, and which were shorts and longs. We haven't had any since, I'm thinking January, February, maybe the last one we had.
December, actually.
December of last year? Oh, my gosh. We used to get those on a monthly basis. Could we get a copy of that?
Yeah. I think you sent me
a sample,
I think.
Yeah.
We'd appreciate that. It kind of helps with the personnel and stuff, you know, if there's problems, we'd like to be aware of it. And if it's good, we'd be aware of that too.
Yeah.
Anything else on fire department?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Jesse. Thank you, Lori. Didn't skip anything this time. We're going to the liquor store.
She just wanted to keep it moving.
Point out, though, that
yes,
rent is up to date.
I saw that. Thank you very much. I saw that.
You can pay ahead.
Very much appreciated.
You want me to go?
You can take it away.
Reporting for the month of October, we've had an interesting 45 days, I would say. I want to thank Anna and Jessica for their help when we hired 5 new people, like basically a whole new staff, shut down for a couple days and clean the living, you know what, out of this building.
Yes.
Amazing. So you guys did a tremendous job on that, and we still made money for October. Total sales for October was about $75,000, and this year we came in at $71,000, so about $4,000 difference there. But still, if you factor in all that we've done, there's going to be a little hiccup. But going into November, we're in good shape. Same way with net profit for October 2023 was at $4,600 for the month. And we were in 2024, $3,900. So off about $1,000, but we'll easily make that up because we're sitting strong on the total. So talked about our staff. We was it 4 or 5 bartenders have been hired. That includes a lot of training, get everybody on the same wavelength. We have young staff, but I look forward to that rather than having somebody 80 years old and say, I won't try this, won't try that. These gals have been good. Jesse Potts has joined the crew too. So I don't know if you guys have any questions, but I just wanted to say that publicly that these two did a lot of help.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Nice job, you guys.
Yeah, we're not done yet.
We'll need a motion to hire Ella Drews, Cadence Thrill Patnode, and Jesse Potts and Greg Kramer as part-time bartenders at $10.85 per hour.
I'll make a motion.
I'll second.
Vote.
Aye.
All right.
And we need to make a motion to
release Trevor Johnson and Tammy Dent. Can we just include them together?
Yeah.
So I will make that motion to release Trevor Johnson and Tammy Dent from employment.
I'll second that.
Vote.
Aye. All right.
Okay, now the big stuff, SCR. Are you aware of that, Ms. Randy? The SCR with the cooler?
Yes.
Okay. You can take that away.
Maybe not.
I thought we took it off the agenda.
Oh, excuse me. Yes, because we need more info. I'm sorry.
I mean, if you want to talk about it.
Nope. Yeah, I just see that.
We don't have all the bids.
I just saw that up there, and I'm just like, no, we don't.
Yeah.
Review painting bids on page 79 to 87.
Are we supposed to just look at the 3 we were handed?
Yes. I would just look at the 3 you were handed today.
And I believe this gentleman here is from JR?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, we put it on because it says chocolate site, and I think it says it on the
back. It does. Big
I had to show up to revamp my bids to, because my scope of work didn't include what was actually spelled out, so I had received an email spelling it out, so I revamped everything to accommodate all within.
What in the heck did I do with mine? Too many papers.
And that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, so with the scope of work being spelled out as such, I gave four separate proposals for that on my end.
Here they are. Thank you. I'm in line. So I don't know where you want to go with this now, but basically all 3 of them just came in. Which we appreciate immensely.
I don't know that anybody really has a time to review these movements.
Yeah.
And that makes it very difficult.
Could we make a decision at a special meeting?
You could, but as long as he's here, if you want to at least review his, please.
For sure.
Yeah, I have a spell of a certain kind of paint. It's a pre-catalyzed waterborne epoxy made from Sherwin-Williams. It's one of their industrial lines. It's good for high traffic areas. I've actually used it at my own shop on all the handrails and all the doors and the bathroom that the guys use and such. I've used it at SA and Garrison, SA and Staples, that same product. I've used it on their stalls. It's not a cheap paint. I encourage you to check it out and research it. I'm not the cheap guy on the block. I'm the do-it-right guy. So it's all spelled out within. I do work for the city of Pequot Lakes. We just painted the historical building this summer. A couple years ago, we did the library for Pequot Lakes. Breezy Point, I just did a bunch of their wooden signs that go up in the throughout the parks in Breezy Point. Manhattan Beach, we just painted the exterior of their town hall here a couple years ago also. So we try to be better than the rest and and stand behind our work.
Mike, you are clearly looking at the amount of work to be done. What would you say, how many days would it take to?
A majority of it can be done without shutting things down. Other than fixing the ceiling in the bottle shop, that would kind of require the bottle shop to be closed for 2-3 days. But otherwise, everything else can happen with things still going on.
Good.
For the most part. You know, because our intention is not to shut things down so you lose money. Because even cities are in the business of making a little money here and there. You know, I mean, so our intention isn't to shut things down, it's to keep everything flowing smoothly. Whether we have to move entrance doors to here for a few hours or there for a few hours type things. You know, put out cones and signs and keep everybody knowing what's going on. We try not to put up wet paint signs because somebody old wants to walk up and touch it and see if it's true. We just put up do not touch signs.
I was talking with Ann earlier today, and if we could shoot for something like a, you'd be done by 4 o'clock in the evening, we could still open up our cocktail hour and have the full access.
Yep,
would
sure.
Would consider the best thing to do rather than shut down for 3-4 days.
Yeah, exactly. One of the intentions is closing things down. It's, we can work harmoniously in that aspect.
Okay, appreciate it.
And so you listed the paint, the kind of paint in here, right?
Yep.
Okay, perfect.
I always do that in that way as a homeowner or business, whatever.
Yeah.
You can do the research on it, and if you feel you found a better product, I'd be more than happy to entertain that idea also. Or if you feel that product is too much and a lesser product would suffice, you can entertain that idea too. If it's a lesser product, probably less than the cost of it. If it's a more expensive product, you know, if you're talking a $20 difference on 10 gallons of paint, well, $200, you know, pretty nominal on things like that. But with the customers I deal with, I try to sell higher end paints that I feel will perform within the aspect needed for something.
Well, it's much appreciated that you redid these.
I'm just glad I called Jessica earlier today and found out that you guys were having a meeting and, so I needed to get up here and get my scope of work down pat because it did not cover all of this up. So there were some items missing. So
any other questions, you guys, on any of the bids?
So it sounds like you'll just add this to the special.
Yeah.
Is there any way I can be notified when the next one is? I'm curious.
Absolutely.
Oh, sure.
It's open.
Okay.
Yep. Special meetings
open. Yep. Oh, yeah.
Because my total I know came, because I added them all up after doing the final version And the total of my four bids for you guys, without painting the office in the back room back here, was like $14,000. And I guarantee I'm a little higher than some others, but I don't know. Do your research into my company also, and see what we do provide, and check us out, look us up, look us down, ask around about us.
Okay.
You know, we stand behind what we do.
So you said Pequot and Breezy?
Pequot, Breezy Point, and we did the exterior of
Manhattan.
Manhattan Beach.
Okay. Good.
Breezy, check us out.
We will. Appreciate that.
Yes, I appreciate you coming too, so I can ask questions.
Yep.
So, pardon? We'll table this, or we'll put this in the special meeting?
Yeah.
Okay. Discussion for event of Texas Hold'em. Randy? Yeah, Randy.
Oh, sorry. Didn't know anything about it. Did you not?
I didn't either. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Well, you did read the agenda.
Hey, thank you guys for your time.
Thanks, Mike. Thank you.
The girls approached me that Tuesday.
I mean, I read the agenda, but I didn't know that.
Yeah, like that. It's listed here, but it doesn't have my name on it, does it?
Does it talk about liquor store dash Randy
Sanders?
Dot, dot. I mean, like, maybe getting my head.
Sorry, Randy. No.
The girls want to start with
the Well, they just said Tuesdays and Wednesdays get boring. Mondays are nice because pool. Thursdays, of course, Friday, Saturday, Sundays. But they said, well, we've heard you had Texas Hold'em here before. Yes, we did. And it kind of went away because there was maybe a little under the table stuff going on.
What?
That's what I was told.
I have real money.
What?
Well, and so then it came to, and it was shut down, correct, Tony?
I think Steve and Mayor had something to do with that, too. But yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and Mike.
Mike.
I'm not going to say his last name.
Okay.
Anyway, so the girls said, could we bring that back? Could we have Art Pub? And I called a couple of the...
Art Pub would be great, too.
Well, that's a Tuesday we could do.
Ooh.
Or Sunday night. But I called a couple of the... poker gurus, John and Karen Stern, Buck Buhai, who was then called Jimmy. And
I brought up the pub to Diana when she was here.
They are yay. And I said, my only stipulation right now, if I'm the interim manager, is it can't be where the TV's on and it's the screen and it's countdowns and buzzers and... Remember that?
Yeah.
It used to be?
Yeah.
That's got to be something that doesn't take over the whole bar, though. Because we lost people because they couldn't come in here and talk and play the jukebox and have fun.
Okay, that just kept the game rolling. And it kept track of the intermissions and the whole thing. And everybody, they just had to come in and look up there, and you knew exactly what the Annies went up to. And what everything went. I don't know. I don't agree.
I'm not opposed to having the screen, but we don't want to detour our other customers from.
Well, we don't need to play sound on it then.
Okay.
But I think it's nice to look at.
Oh, yeah, that's
not a great guideline.
I asked the girls if they've experienced it anywhere, and they said absolutely at other places. And it's, you don't even know what's going on except for you hear the chips and the people playing. So I said,
bless
then.
You're
learning
yourself.
So because it was kind of. It was brought to council, and maybe it needs to be dusted.
tables, the chips.
The chips are still all in the...
Are they?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The tabletops, I have not reached out to Patty Miller yet. Is it something you need?
You can play on regular tables, too. You don't need those. But
okay.
They were nice to have. That's why we got them.
Okay. So I just felt because it was brought to council, and I think... Shut down by council. I want it to be resurrected by council.
So, what's with the tables?
Their covers, okay, so like the, some of the smaller, they were just like sheets of plywood that Bob Miller had taken, and he rounded it just like that table right there in front of you.
Okay.
And then he covered it with like green felt. So it's like a card table.
Oh,
so
nice.
Then he just put it on top of the other tables. And yes, it just makes it nice.
So what happened to them?
They were never ours, but they belonged to Bob and Patty Miller, because Bob used to have Texas Hold'em over there, and he let us borrow them. After he quit, we just borrowed them, and so when it disbanded, they went back to Bob, I assume, over to Patty's.
Okay, gotcha.
So Patty probably still has them, I would probably think.
Nice.
Would this take place at a pool?
No. That's a league, and that's on Monday, so we can't.
So that's a little bit.
They would have to check inside. I think they still do Texas Hold'em at Andy's. I don't know anywhere else, but I think I've heard of Andy's. So I don't know what night it is. That's
okay.
What I mean. We want to do a different night.
Okay. Right. Yeah. That's a good idea.
I just know the couple of people I reached out to were just very excited.
So if Monday is pool and Sunday there's nothing going on, and then you said Tuesday?
Tuesday, Wednesday, or
Tuesday,
Sunday.
Wednesday. Okay.
I don't remember what day did we plan. Was it Wednesday?
Wednesday.
Okay.
And then you did some Sundays when you got to a certain level.
Well, tournament.
You guys were
We were in the tournament stuff, too.
Your parents. I was neglected. Yes. Every Wednesday night. Parentless.
So do you need a motion on this?
I would just like a motion, yes, that bar staff can bring back Texas Hold'em at a night of their choice.
I'll make a motion that the bar brings back Texas Hold'em.
I'll second that.
Vote?
Aye.
Aye.
I'm not calling on your name. THC products. There was an article in the last newsletter from the MMBA, and they were talking about some of the municipals that do sell THC in their off sale, and some of them sell them over the bar too, so it's not an off sale thing. I think we're missing the ball, myself,
yeah.
Because people are buying them.
And they're even at the golf course.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
Like,
believe
yeah,
it.
I actually bought one.
Oh,
no, I swear to God. I had no idea. I didn't drink it, but I looked at it and I'm like, that looks kind of, because I thought it was a sparkling water. I was like, wait a second.
Oh,
so that went into the refrigerator.
There are
to be drank later.
Diane and I went to that committee. Talk about this.
Okay.
And you got to be a little careful on where you put it in your facilities, because it's got to be its own separate lockable glass case or whatever it is.
Okay. So why can they sell them at the golf course and it's not locked?
I don't know why.
Because you just go in and you pick it up.
Yeah, okay. I've never seen them locked either. I bought them at Redding's and it's just sitting on the shelf.
Yeah.
That's maybe the edibles.
Oh. No, that's the drinks.
No, I'm talking about, he's talking about, because
talking about the edibles.
We'll have to,
I think we're
we are doing that. We're just doing THC.
THC drinks.
I think we're just talking about drinks.
Okay.
Yeah, we're not going there, you boss.
But that's not a bad idea to have, like, one small portion. There might be, like, two options or whatever they decide.
I don't know. I think I'd shop around and look and see what everybody else is doing.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So, I contacted the city attorney a week ago, and he never got back to me. So then I reached out to city clerks in the state, and a ton of them, I shouldn't say a ton. Jenny Max got back to me right away, city administrator at Nisswa. She's a wealth of knowledge, and she said right away, just, you don't have to take it to your council, but because it's controversial, take it to your council, get their blessing to bring it in, and then it's a simple application with the state of Minnesota. That we fill out just saying we are selling.
Okay. That's a good idea.
So you are blessing with a vote?
Motion.
Or?
With a motion.
Okay. I made a motion to bring in THC drinks.
Second.
Would you specify the store?
Yeah. If we leave it open, and he doesn't specify off sale or on sale, it gives you the option. We're going to bring it in off sale for sure, but it just leaves the option open. If we're going to sell it there, I have a feeling it won't be long before people will be asked and have it over on the on sale side.
I think we should do both, because the on sale is where they often will want it. Like a lot of times they'll come up and they'll see it and they'll want one.
That's what I don't know.
from what I understand, to take the log cabin. He'll only allow you to have one or two or something. So are there any state regulations that only allow to sell so much on sale? Or?
No, that's the gray area. We went to that get-together, and that's what bothers me is the insurance part of it. How do we know Gary didn't have eight of those edibles and I had one?
It's the same as liquor, though. It's the same thing. How do I know how much you drank at home right. before you came here?
Yeah,
they're well, gonna have, people are going to have to be watching.
Well, either... We have troubles. We have troubles with scratch cards, let alone edibles. I'll be quiet.
I mean, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. It's just. Oh, I mean, at the same time, we can't control. Like, okay, how many mixed drinks did this person have because they have two different bartenders, you know, like versus a THC drink.
I think you know we're talking about off sale here to begin with. I think if we enter.
That's all I was going to do.
Yeah, off sale. Yeah.
Well, I think on sale is a good idea because that's where a lot of people, they'll come in and they'll have a drink and they'll say, I want a THC drink. I mean, that's the, some of the places that I've gone, I don't, like, I've just seen that they have them.
I guess I'm of the opinion that we kind of ease into this a little bit.
But why ease it in has to be on sale and not on sale?
And I like to research if there are any rules for the on sale.
We have to definitely do research, but if they have the blessing to start, I don't. I say we don't hamper them by saying off sale only, because then you'll have to come back and if you want to go to on sale, try it in the off sale.
Yeah, maybe do research first.
So we should use it in there to start with, and then you know people are going to see it there. If we've got a lot of inquiries, then maybe we need to look at that then.
Well, I think in the meantime, I think like you guys said, maybe start with off sale, and in the meantime, let's do the research.
Would that then require us changing our ordinance?
What do you mean?
For using marijuana on
city property.
City property, because we passed that.
That's cannabis. This is isn't it a difference? This is just THC.
Different things.
All the same. All the research they need to do.
It gets you there no matter which way you go, I guess. I don't know.
So you have a motion and a second.
Yep. Yeah. Vote, please.
Aye.
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 I got some information on that. I'll bring that in.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, awesome. The MMBA would be a great place to check for some information on that, too. Okay, anything else, Ray?
Did we talk about Texas Hold'em? Oh, no, I'm done.
Marty.
Mayor's report. Solar panels. Okay, I did speak with Dave Winkleman. And just let him know that for right now, at this time, unless you guys have difference, but right now we're concentrating on the park. We've got to make sure that we can match the funding that we need to match. And but I did tell him that it just got moved to the back burner. We definitely, I think, we should address it. And
as time goes on. We still haven't decided what we're going to do with the building next door.
There's another thing too, So, yep.
Yeah.
Everybody okay with that?
Yep.
Review of the 2025 budget, page 88 to 109. Do we have to have a motion? This is just for your information. It is what we had last month.
Right. Nothing's talked about.
Nothing's changed. It's just the final, and this is it.
Next month it'll be it. So if you have any changes, please review what you have.
I thought it was the same as what we decided about.
It is.
Yeah. There have been no changes since last month, so I was just thinking we'd have to reset and talk about it. If you guys, anybody has looked at it and thought they would like something changed. That's it for that. Purchasing of personnel. Review of liquor manager applications.
There seems to be a lot of not relevant background and experience.
Where did we leave off?
Okay, so
all the ones are
I have the new ones here. Is it
okay?
You do.
I think. 19.
Yep. 19.
Some of them are like stapled together, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That's okay. Yep. I just want to make sure that wasn't like.
Okay. Okay. So we start at 19.
Yeah. And refer to everything as a number, please. So.
Maybe I don't have 19.
I have 19 as a yes.
Okay, sorry. That's okay. Okay, so 19 is a yes?
I like to be really surprised how little somebody has to put on the resume.
Right?
It's funny.
What? Oh, you guys have anything to say about 19?
Yeah, 19 is a yes. Don't put that in the
face. That's two of a yes. We have three more people.
So I have
kind of a. I don't know that there's a lot of relevant. The only thing I see is Baxter Liquor. That's relevant. I don't see any bartending experience. I don't see any.
But I also see lottery, pull tabs, till counts, runner reports, closing the store. I see other things that are in there too. So, and.
Yeah.
Where is 19, he at?
19's been assistant manager from 20 to present. And. I think.
Yeah,
the liquor. The liquor store.
Yeah.
You don't have pull tabs at a liquor store.
Oh, yeah, I've seen them. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, like pull tabs at a liquor store. Don't you have to stay there in the house when you pull them? Like you can't walk out of the liquor store.
No, but people stand around and pull them.
Okay. I think yes too.
I think yes.
Where
does
it say pull tabs at the liquor
store? Well, pull tabs is down on the square. That might have been a yeah. I don't know what it's cubes, squares, linear, cashier stock, self bait. It must be a gas station type place, and they have lottery pull tabs there.
Okay.
20.
Does anybody know this person? Or?
No, just, okay.
Just curious.
I don't know anything.
I just curious.
I put, there's no liquor experience on 20, but I did put a maybe.
That's what I had also.
Did you have a maybe too?
Yeah, he had a lot of other experience. But
yeah.
Good point.
Should we do an interview?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, 21, I have no.
Nope.
Nope.
22, I had no.
No.
33, I had no.
Wait, 23?
23, did you know?
Yep, I had no. Okay.
24, pulled out. Too soon after having a baby.
Okay. 25.
I had a yes.
I had a maybe on that one. The only thing I didn't like was hops around a lot. A year or two, maybe not.
Yeah, that's the big dollar on that one.
Yeah, it's every 20, 22, 23, 24, present, maybe 24.
Yeah, I was wondering if it's work, but it's history, isn't that great? I had a maybe and a yes on that.
Okay, I would say let's add them to add the 25 to the group.
To the interview?
Yeah. Okay. 26.
I had a yes on that one.
I had a yes on that one also.
I had a maybe on that one. But yeah.
I had a no
yes.
on that one.
You had a no? Mm-hmm. Definitely did a lot of managerial work.
Yeah.
But not necessarily relevant.
Black Bear Casino from 2014 to 2015.
It was a year.
I can go either way on 26.
On the last year.
Yeah. We talked to him.
Well, you do have a maybe pile from last time.
Public food and beverage supervisor.
Oh, we do, okay.
But that was like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Blackberry.
Okay.
26.
26.
I said yes.
And I had a yes. I think that was because of his managing experience and stuff.
Manager in the food industry.
And in the food industry, there's nothing.
But there's nothing over, liquor.
There's
right,
nothing
no liquor, liquor, no cold tabs.
It's
no.
Managing and food.
Well, did have a year or so, in a food and beverage supervisor, manages food and beverage operations in resorts, hotels, and hospitals.
It was less than a year.
Yeah, it was less than a year.
Over, it was like 10 years ago.
Yeah. I go either way.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same.
Well, he's been at Caribou since 16 to now.
Mm-hmm.
Which means he's been there for a while.
Ages, yeah. So that's the... What do you guys think?
Because some of these people end up with throwing the S pile and they would call back and go, nah, just fish.
Yeah, I would put
so it. Let's put them on the S pile and see what happens. I got them.
27 was a no.
Yes.
You were a yes or you agree with the no?
Agree with the no.
Gotcha. 28 was a no. Okay. Everybody agree,
28?
Yeah.
Yep.
29. What are we doing here?
28.
It's a no's?
Yep. And that was a no.
I don't agree with that. I'm going to say yes.
Anybody else think it should be yes?
No. Do you have it, Jill?
I do. I'm just trying to find out where everything else is. I'm like,
okay, I'll do a better job of organizing.
No, it's okay. It's just they were in order. It was, I think, probably I can do it.
Well, we all receive these in different orders, so.
Okay.
Okay, so you have three no's.
Was three no's.
One yes.
Yes.
I'd be a maybe.
Look at you. She was going to end up being a no.
I've got to go with no on that one.
29.
I got a no.
Question mark.
A lot of stuff there, but.
Yeah, I was a no.
That's a lot of international.
31.
Internationally.
30
got it back.
Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry.
Yep.
Oh, I
guess. International work, I believe.
Okay.
So we're at 31 now?
You're going to get a look at 30.
30.
I don't even see 30. Who's 30?
On the back.
Oh, okay. Yep. I see. It's one page.
Okay. I did not read this one.
It's like the only thing that's really relevant is the liquor store.
I'd say
31.
Yes.
Well, there's a Muni bartender.
I have a Navy there.
The Muni, but what Muni?
That's what
a very good question.
When I read it, I'm going like, okay, what Muni?
Bacchus. Is there one in Bacchus?
No, there hasn't been a Muni in Bacchus if they ever had been a long time.
Well, that's a question we can ask if we do an interview. But I mean, there is bartending and bar manager, bartender at a Muni somewhere apparently.
Well, from October to February. So October, November, December, January, February, that was it.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, these two first ones are very short term.
Yeah.
That's where this person's
experience
would rise. I have a no maybe on it.
And is there any more recent experience, like other than February 2024?
Does it say? Maybe you're wrong. I don't know.
No.
I pretty much have no idea on that one.
But okay. We might not know. Maybe she took some time off to have a baby or something. Mm-hmm.
So I had 232s, so this one with the initials WB is 32A.
So okay. Are we for sure in knowing this person that's 31? I mean, I think there is some relevant, and there might be a reason other than, although...
And I don't need to reach out to them right away and say anything.
Should we put that in a baby pile, just in case the other ones don't seem to...
Okay.
31's going back to the baby?
Yeah, I mean, it does look like there's a lot of holes in the working experience. Not a lot of long-term.
So 32, there's two of them?
32A.
32A is going to be...
The one from Reamer.
Yeah, I would say no. I have no.
Yeah. 33.
I have a no.
No.
I'm glad I'm not in this pile.
I mean, it looks pretty, though. She could, like, do a website for us.
Tinder? Is that what you call it? Is that a Tinder picture? Oh, yeah.
33
is her nose. Yeah, yep. 34, I had a yes, maybe on it.
General manager of a bar down.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a yes on 34.
Yeah, okay. I think so.
Oh, yeah, 34. Was this a yes?
I think so. It seems to have a barrel experience.
Yes,
it does.
Okay.
Well, some of them haven't had
the yeah, that's true. That's true. I agree. Like the one that I said, a baby, is very much bad. A lot of experience. I mean, a lot of holes.
35.
I had a yes.
I had a yes.
I had a no.
What about you guys?
Well, I think the only relevant experience is bartending, but not actual managing other than a sage, which I'm not sure what that is.
And the bartending areas were very short-lived for the most part.
A Hansen. Hansen.
So that's why I said no on that one.
And what did other people think?
Jess just pointed something out, that Hansen Hospitality is Deerhaven.
Is what?
Oh.
Deerhaven.
Oh, so our 35 right now is working at Deerhaven. To present, okay? And before that was at Grand Casino as a bartender, and before that was
for under a year.
Yes, yes. And, just during summer.
It was under a year.
Yeah.
Yep.
I've got.
How about maybe?
Yeah, we can put it in the
okay.
File.
Which one?
25.
35.
35.
Okay.
34
is
yes.
34 is yes.
36.
I have no.
I had a maybe and I don't know why.
No. I would say no.
I guess it was just mainly due to the management. Yeah, I don't know.
We have 37.
I'm missing 37. Yeah, I don't have a
37. I'm missing 37.
I'd say no.
I have a no on 37, but these guys don't have a 37. You certainly can.
Go ahead and look at mine. Mark?
Yeah, I can see that. Be pretty much another.
But it's been placed for a long time.
Well, yeah, the last work experience was in 2018.
Oh, yeah. Big dry spell.
to write on it.
Okay, 38.
No.
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 39.
Yes.
I didn't know.
I don't know. Also, stylist.
Yeah. Oh, what did you know?
39. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I don't know on that one. I missed 38 and I got ahead of myself.
Okay.
I was one ahead.
Okay, and 40.
Can we just hand it 40 to me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Don't look too lost in the paper or paper.
40?
Yeah.
Do you want mine?
Sure. This is shows up here in 2 seconds.
Oh.
Yes.
I say yes, asshole.
Ready?
Yes, I know.
I already said yes. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. You will add 40 to the group. So far, the guesses that I have, I've got 9.
I have a book through here for this to go.
Oh, I just have a tell you one.
You're good. You're not better than me.
You have 9, I have 6.
Uh-oh. Oh. Well, you got 2, 12, and 14. They were our first ones.
Oh.
And the rest were done tonight.
Oh, I have here as a maybe. I never had any yeses. I had only maybes last time.
Oh, I had 2, 12, and 14.
Yeah, I got 2, 12, 14.
That's yeses.
Yep.
Yep, that was it.
Yep.
Okay.
I may be copies of the first group. I am sure I have it at home, but it gets to me every so often.
Okay, so we will set up interviews with our yeses for when we schedule a special meeting. Are we doing interviews that night too? Yes, that's what we have.
Yeah.
Monday.
So, just our FYI, staff reviews should be done by our bylaws, by our personnel policy, whatever it is. But they're supposed to be done by November 30th. They're typically a council liaison along with council liaison does the supervisors. Pardon?
Yeah, and if there's a supervisor.
The
yeah.
supervisors, and then the managers do the employees.
Yep, so you two would do Chad.
Okay.
Mark and Chad would do Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay, yeah. You and someone would do me. Me and you would do Chad. Okay. There.
So we need to get that set up. I'm pretty
good. That's
okay. We'll make sure we get her done before the 30th.
So what are we thinking about the special meeting?
That's what I wanted to go back to.
Yeah. Special meeting.
I'm available next week.
Yep. This week's going to be probably the bestest for me.
This coming up week?
Yeah. Except for Thursday and Friday.
Okay, so... You and I do, we do Chad. Sorry.
She's talking the special meeting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry. I am sorry.
We'll just get
I'm still working on that.
For that. 19th is going to be bad for me.
Okay.
18th
works for me.
Monday I can't because I have got, I work Mondays. I have my 2.5 hour job.
So what's your schedule for Wednesday or Thursday?
Thursday, I will be out of town. Wednesday, I'm here, just at the fire department. No, we don't. Never mind.
Wednesday's good then.
Wednesday.
Fire department's tomorrow.
I know. I know that. I just have it wrong in my calendar.
I was going to speak with you guys.
Wednesday,
20th.
Wednesday.
And could we... Okay, so if we have 9 people, maybe start a little earlier? And I can hit those that can come like 4-ish?
Yeah, I'm fine.
And how long do you want for each? 15?
Yeah.
Okay, I'd need a motion then for that special meeting.
Are we going to allow some of these that are further away? I think one of them was from Ashland, one of them was from Orr. I don't know if they made the finals.
I don't know, but Anne will do the contact with them and set them up accordingly. We don't have to worry about that. All we have to worry about is what day we want the meeting, what time we're going to start. So we're looking at the 20th, so I make a motion that we have a special meeting on November 20th, starting at...
20? Oh yeah, that's right, I put in the morning, sorry.
Starting at 4 p.m. For the purpose of interviewing managers, going over the painting bids.
So one other thing, right?
Splash pad.
And a splash pad. Do I have a second?
I'll
second
that. Vote, please. Aye. Aye. Council meeting, 4 p.m.
Also, city offices, this FYI, will be closed. You don't need a motion on that. FYI, closed November 28th and 29th for Thanksgiving.
Why?
To be thankful.
And we have the purchasing policy on here, which in talking with Anne, our purchasing policy is pretty outdated. It was made quite a long time ago.
Yes.
So I'm thinking we need to update that.
Yes.
Purchasing policy.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I would like to revisit what we talked about in the past about over a bid over a certain amount. I think we should post it. That way we get more bids, and also it's kind of similar to a lot of other cities. Doesn't look like.
You kind of research this a little bit, Adam?
Yeah, yes,
I did. So, I heard back, I just sent it out last night, so I'll just go over some of what I asked was for their purchasing policies, that we have a council member looking at changing ours to anything over $1,000 would require a public bid, soliciting for public bids. We're right now...
And $1,000 is just fluid. That's
okay.
Just...
Right now, it's $50,000 for our policy. Here is Audubon, in our population of 560, we need two quotes or RFPs for anything over 1,000, which is what we do now. We obtain two quotes for anything. Anything 25,000 and up needs three, and anything 175,000 or more needs to be sealed, bid, solicited by public notice. Jenny Max, I would highly discourage the idea of soliciting bids for anything over $1,000. That is very time consuming for staff. I would follow Minnesota statutes for bid quote guidelines, and you can also set a spending limit for staff to allow spending up to a threshold without council approval. Here's a document we use to verify we meet Minnesota statute for purchasing in our ordinance language below for purchasing spending limits. Perhaps your council would be more comfortable setting the spending limit up to $1,000 without council approval, which is what we have, but anything over that amount needs council approval in advance, which is what we do. So then she has this, and then she also has a process, which is kind of cool.
Who is this person?
City of Nisswa Administrator.
Okay.
Process for obtaining bids and quotes for goods or services. And then she also has the state.
That's hers?
Yep.
It's the city's.
So what is the statute that she's talking about?
The state statute. It's a uniform municipal contracting law. It's 47.345. Municipality defined means a county, town, or city. Contract defined, a contract means an agreement entered into by a municipality for sale or purchase of supplies, materials, equipment, or rental, or construction, alteration, repair, maintenance of real or personal property. Contracts over $175,000. If the amount of the contract is estimated to exceed $175,000, sealed bids should be solicited by public notice in a matter and subject to which the requirements of the law governing contracts by the particular municipality or class thereof. With regard to repairs and maintenance of ditches, the provisions, and then it cites
that section. Sounds like that's for probably larger municipalities, because we don't have a lot of bids that are $175,000.
No, this is state statute for every municipal. No, this includes us.
Right, it includes all include cities. Us. I'm just saying it sounds like that kind of money.
Right, but ours is more restricted.
Yeah, we can't be looser than the states. We can be more restricted. Right?
Yes, and we are.
We're going to get together on Tuesday. Are you available Tuesday, the 19th in the morning?
Yeah.
Tentatively at 10 a.m. Ann and I are going to sit down and go over that, and then maybe this is something we want to bring
that up. Well, I mean, I have something at 11, from 11 to 12:30.
That you won't be able to be here.
Right.
Can we start at 9:30? Just take 1 hour?
Sure.
9:30 to 10:30?
Yep, I can do that.
9:30, you said?
Yep.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to have to get rid of that.
Do you want me to keep going, or?
No.
Okay. And then I did have other cities come in and say, it's basically the same thing, 2 to 3 quotes, and it's just where you obtain the quotes. There is no soliciting of sealed bids.
So let's say we have something that we want to have bid, like the painting. How do you decide who you're going to get bids from? How do people know that there's a bid even going out?
We call them. We just...
Generally, contractors don't respond to an ad in the paper that are soliciting.
Well, bids. I guess the question is like, I mean, I just feel like, do we put it on the website?
No, what we've done in the past, and it's an RFP, which is a question of proposal.
Uh-huh.
You can send that out versus to email, like Gary was saying.
Right, that would
they don't have to respond. If they want to respond, they can.
Okay.
But that's where you put all your specifications that you want covered and that type of thing. So
and who do you send that to?
Any contractor you want them to respond to.
The three contractors that you normally go to? I mean, it would be nice to be able to expand that network and just be able to throw a wider net. And if we like the certain people that we go with, that's great, but I think it would be nice to expand that a little bit and give other people an opportunity too and not just have favorites all the time.
But there's no, by means, no favorites.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I think it would be, that's my point. We can talk about this on Tuesday. But my point is, I like that idea to just send out emails to, like, people within 25 miles or what. I mean, if we know of them and just have an email blast of painters, of, you know, like, if we have a bid, not just three companies that we call. Or
the problem I see with that, and like Jenny says, it takes up too much staff time. Look at the time it's already taken with just three paint bids.
I'm just saying, like, if we get emails, right, and we do a request for proposal, we have emails for painters. We have emails for, we just...
Right, but we still have to go through all these, and then we have to go through them again if they're not all apples to apples. This is already taken. I mean, election day, he sat with Jeff for 2 to 3 hours.
There might be easy ones that you can already get rid of, like maybe the extremes on both ends, and then just bring certain ones to them. You know, like, I just feel like always just going, I just feel like we need to expand it a little bit.
And the RFP wouldn't be sent out to...
I'm not saying like hundreds of people.
I have, you know, $20,000 on the RFP, talking about the bigger projects that would worry about the $1,000 projects.
Right. No, I agree. I threw that number out to give a reason. I mean,
we'll be meeting Tuesday, so we can talk about all this, and then if we come up with something, then we can present it at the next council meeting. That work for you?
Yeah, that's fine.
Anything else? Purchasing personnel. You guys? Anything? Have anything? We have unfinished business. Feasibility study quotes.
Okay, last month you approved going with Bolton and Mink using Sourcewell monies. Their money has been exhausted.
Okay.
So you have to decide, do you want to wait till that money is available again, which would be June? or do you want to use city funds? What is it for?
It's a feasibility study for the building next door for the fire department, the maintenance, and the community center, the whole building. Their bid was, I believe, was $10,000 or close to around $10,000.
And they are what, architects or what?
Yeah, they're
engineers.
My take on the whole thing is, if we wait until June, so that's another 7 months out, so we still don't know what we're going to do with that building, so we still don't know anything about the solar panel, we still don't know anything. We saved a lot of money with Sourcewell, and I think we have monies in other places that we can take the $10,000 and get the feasibility study done, so we know where we stand, if we need to buy land, if we need to fix, you know, what we, then we just know what we need to do for the future. Otherwise, we just keep pushing it down the road, or kicking it down the road. And it just gets farther and farther out. Nothing's getting cheaper.
That's true.
I tend to agree with you. I'd like to see that study sooner than later. It would be nice to use someone else's money, but there again, like you said, we've saved a lot over the course of time, and we invest in that, and I just... You know, it's nothing that we're going to do next year, probably the year after even, but to have a vision and a path that we can follow, at least we know which way we're going.
Right, at least we'll know how what we need to plan for. Now, we don't know, like we were talking about solar panels. We don't know if the building's going to be there. We don't know.
So, just a quick question. Is there any way that we could have our grant writers kind of see if there's a grant out there for that, and would that even be feasible, because maybe the amount of money we'd spend on her maybe would be take away from.
I say we just do it. That's just my thing on it. But.
For $10,000, I should do.
I am.
We have that money somewhere in the budget that we can.
And who do, were we having do this?
Bolton and Mink.
Yeah, we
decided. We've worked with them before. They're our engineer, are they not? Yeah.
They weren't the lowest bid, but they were the most complete. We had two other bids that came in, and in reading them, they talked about everything they do, but Bolton and Mink told us what they were going to do for
gotcha.
Us.
I see.
Yeah.
Is that still the same amount now? Like, we went with that now, is it still their same
one?
Bid?
I believe it is.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't imagine it changed.
That's what we accepted, what was the last one?
We had said we would do it with the Sourcewell money,
right.
But not knowing that it was exhausted.
Right.
You made a motion to go with them.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
So let me think here. I don't know if I should have whoever made the motion then make the motion to amend the motion to say this will be paid for out of city general funds.
Was it the motion that it was going to be other funds used?
It wasn't in the motion that it was Sourcewell, but the discussion around it was.
It was Gary made the motion and Mark seconded the motion.
Do you amend the motion?
Okay, well, it was made by me?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'd like to amend that motion to use city money, our own money, to pay for that study, for the feasibility study.
And second was Mark? Does he still have to second it?
Okay.
Vote?
Aye.
I have a question, Ann. So how do we pay for our city lawyer?
We budget for it, and it comes out of the city coffers.
Like, do we pay them, like, when they bill us, or do we have to
yes.
pay a certain amount per month?
No, we pay them when they bill us. Of which there's still an outstanding balance of $400 and some from months ago because it listed Craftlake. So yeah.
I'm just glad because I thought I didn't know if we had to pay them a certain amount just to be on because they haven't really responded.
No.
So
I am working well. We're kind of looking at I'd like to change attorneys for the city. I'm not going to have a job for long.
Oh, please have them come.
Yes, okay. Yeah. I don't know if she will do a city thing, but I will talk to her. And so she's done some really good stuff out there. So.
Well, we're having a conference call tomorrow with Tom Pearson. He was our city attorney for a number of years.
Okay.
And I reached out to him to see if he would come back.
I'll talk to her. I don't know if she's interested.
Yeah, I mean, she's going to want to have that city experience and knowledge.
Right. Well, I mean, she doesn't, yeah. So I'll talk to her and just see. And if she does, I'll have her reach out to you. Or okay. Have you reach out to her.
Oh, if she wants to call me, that'd be great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Open forum. Oh, Rick left.
He's like, forget it.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Vote.